IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
That's World Diabetes Day today, Monday the 14th of November. Mari van der Merwe, President at Association for Dietetics in South Africa. Very good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
And so good to be talking to you again. Thank you for making time. And I think our listeners are getting used to your voice now.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure.
And we had to talk to you today. It's World Diabetes Day. So what is the aim of World Diabetes Day, firstly?
So we have quite high numbers in terms of our statistics for people who have diabetes in South Africa. But we are also aware that about half of people who are living with diabetes may not know it. So it is intended to create awareness of the condition and also to urge people to, you know your number, to know if you are at risk and to get tested and treatment if necessary. So it really is to bring to the attention the extent of diabetes in South Africa and to direct people where they can get support.
And Mari, how bad actually is diabetes now? I know we've spoken about it a couple of times. And looking at the increase, the uptake of diabetes worldwide, how does South Africa compare to what's happening overseas? Because our stats are looking quite bad. So, I mean, how does it compare?
Yeah, it is not looking good. We have about just over 4 million people in South Africa that we know have diabetes. And as I mentioned, probably equal to that, not knowing that they have diabetes. So we are what we call a country in nutrition and health transition. So that is typically where you have a country of our socioeconomic status, where lifestyles are changing, processed food are becoming more accessible, sometimes affordable compared to other options, and our lifestyles change, become more sedentary, eat different type of foods, and therefore we are then exposed to a higher risk of developing non-communicable disease, of which today we are discussing diabetes. So we are probably lagging a little bit behind some of our higher income countries who have had this transition a decade or two ago, but we are very similar to other middle income countries, where in Africa we are currently seeing a rapid rise in our non-communicable disease, including diabetes. And that is because, as I've mentioned, our lifestyle changes, exposing us to that significant risk of developing diabetes.
Absolutely. I think also maybe if we can just take a step back, and I know you and I have spoken before, but just for our listeners, and particularly the new listeners, maybe just take a minute or two, if you wouldn't mind, to tell us about the different types of diabetes.
Okay, so we mainly differentiate between so-called type 1 and type 2 diabetes. And type 1 diabetes is usually diagnosed quite earlier in life. It may be even in infancy or during childhood. And that is typically because the pancreas is not producing insulin, and therefore you require external insulin, typically through an injection, to control blood sugar. So the function of insulin, when we consume food, specifically our starches, our blood sugar increases. And that is, of course, because we need to use the energy in our food for our bodies to function. So to ensure that our blood sugar doesn't rise too quickly or too high, our body then excretes insulin, which is a hormone that regulates our blood sugar. And in a type 1 diabetic, their pancreas, the organ that makes insulin, is not able to function. A type 2 diabetic, that is usually when diabetes develops later on in life, and that is typically due to lifestyle risk factors. They are also genetic risk factors, but typically obesity, sedentary lifestyle is mainly considered as our risk, along with a genetic predisposition. And then we would usually be diagnosed later in life, in the maybe middle ages, if we can refer to that. And the treatment there usually starts off with medication in the form of tablets, along with nutrition and exercise. So it's also always three components, your medical treatment, your nutrition, and your exercise. What we need to just acknowledge is over time, the disease progression in a type 2 diabetic may also mean that they need to later on take insulin injections. So we do not differentiate between the types of diabetes based on the treatment, whether that is oral medication or insulin. And then, of course, the third one that I will just very briefly mention, so-called gestational diabetes, and that is when a pregnant woman develops diabetes during her pregnancy because of the changes in her body, and that usually her blood sugar will return to normal levels after delivery, but she would then remain at higher risk of developing type 2 diabetes later in life. Mm. But we mainly differentiate between type 1 and 2 because of the onset and, of course, also the primary cause of the diabetes.
And thank you. You explained that really well. And type 1, though, how does one become a type 1?
So type 1 diabetes, as I've mentioned, that's early onset. It could be diagnosed very early in an infant or a very young child, but usually under the age of 10 years. And that would be where your pancreas is not making enough insulin. So that is inherently a disorder, autoimmune. And as I've mentioned, it could be genetic as well. And the symptoms that goes with that would be, for example, excessive thirst, excessive urination, and typically a type 1 diabetic would struggle with weight loss, and that is sometimes an early on sign if a child is not growing well. And then, of course, if we measure the blood sugar, you will notice a significant increase in the blood sugar levels.
It's instant, though. If you become a type 1, you're a type 1 instantly.
Yes, absolutely.
A type 2, can it be reversed? Sort of when it's diagnosed, and you mentioned late onset diabetes. So,
yes.
And obviously through nutrition and the exercise and whatever, can it be reversed at that stage?
Well, if you sometimes we refer to the term pre-diabetic. So that would be when if you do regular checkups of the doctor and you kind of fit the profile of risk, in other words, overweight and sedentary lifestyle, not good eating habits, and your blood sugar may start increasing, especially when we look at your fasting blood sugar, and then over time it will just start creeping a little bit higher. So you can actually pick up that a person is pre-diabetic. Of course, we can also measure the insulin levels, and then we would usually find very high insulin levels in the blood because your body has stopped responding to the insulin. So we can refer to that as insulin sensitivity that has declined because your body keeps making insulin, and in the end, it will then deplete its capacity to produce insulin, and then you will become diabetic. So your question, if it's reversible, is if we are in that early stage, in other words, pre-diabetic or early diabetes, and you radically make changes in terms of lifestyle, lose the extra weight, eat foods that will not cause a spike in blood sugar, and appropriate physical activity, you have a very good chance of returning to normal blood sugar levels if you are not yet diabetic. And if you are diabetic, you are going to still have very good blood sugar control. So you might still be a person with diabetes, but if your blood sugar is well controlled, it reduces all the risks that we have. The risk that we have of developing complications, which is, of course, the purpose of treating the diabetes.
Oh, Mari, thank you so, so much. You've made it really so clear. And I think, yeah, we've all got a good take on diabetes. Mari van der Merwe, President at Association for Dietetics in South Africa. Thank you so much for just giving us more awareness around diabetes. It is National Diabetes Day, 14th of November.